But first, we're going to talk about a very interesting play that's going on in Chicago. Agatha Christie, this play, And Then There Were None. It's the world's best-selling mystery and actually the sixth best-selling novel of all time. It was published in 1939. It's been performed on stage over hundreds of thousands of times and was made into at least 9 movie productions. A play is being performed at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook, and joining us to talk about the play and the theater scene is the play's director, Jessica Fish, and Larry Baker, the production stage manager, and my high school classmate. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Karen.
So let's talk a little bit about Agatha Christie's book, And Then There Were None, and about the title. The title has an interesting kind of tortured history, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but Jessica, tell our listeners what Agatha Christie's, how it evolved from the book to the play and the titles.
Sure. The book was actually published in 1939 in Great Britain under a title that actually references a nursery rhyme that she used to frame the whole play. That title includes a racist term that was part of the original poem. When she brought it to America, she changed that title to a new title, which features another sort of off-color title. So the play has this history of two sort of insensitive titles carried with it. And since, you know, the play was never produced in the United States under that title, but it's been performed ever since as And Then There Were None.
And let's, Ben, we have a little clip from the play. And in the play, Larry, I'm going to ask you briefly what the plot is, but I'm going to play a little bit of the characters who are reciting a portion of the play that we're talking about. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, there's the old nursery rhyme. They're the 10 little soldier boys from the nursery rhyme, I suppose. 10 little soldier boys going out to dine. One choked his little self, and then there were 9.
9 little soldier boys sat up very late. One overslept himself, and then there were 8.
8 little soldier boys traveling in Devon. One got left behind, and then there were 7.
Okay, so this is the nursery rhyme upon which the book and then the play are based. And Larry, can you give our audience, without, of course, this is a mystery, so you're not going to obviously give
away
the whodunit. No, we're not going to do that. You have to come see it. But what is the general gist of the play?
I would say that 10 strangers are invited to an island mansion off the coast of Devon by a mysterious host by the name of U.N. Owen. And once the guests have all arrived, a recording begins to play, and the voice of the unseen host accuses each of them of a crime for which they must pay. And from there on, murder, mystery, and mayhem ensue.
So, you know, this play has been performed over, I mean, it has to be tens of thousands, if not 100,000 times over the last, 76 years and three movies. How do you go about directing, Jessica, a play like this that has been performed so many times? So my question is, do you kind of see as many of the renditions as you can and then extrapolate and take what you like, or do you give it your own fresh view?
Well, I mean, I was an Agatha Christie fan before I was anything, so I had a great deal of affection for her writing, and I also love puzzles, and so to me, I guess the way that we approached making the play was we wanted to make a sort of amazing puzzle for the audience to kind of experience and try to solve along with us. So, you know, I kind of immersed myself in that world of her novels before going into rehearsal for the play and read a lot about her life because she's had a super interesting life. And I also take a lot of inspiration from the fact that she was a woman novelist. She was the breadwinner in her family. And that's very inspiring to me. And I really wanted to make a version of this play for 2019 that really elevated the women in the story and really made the heroine the pinnacle of the story. And I think we achieved that with some really interesting sort of focusing in of the story and some new changes and tweaks.
You know, I read that book a long time ago. My mother was a big Agatha Christie fan, so I read it when I was very young. And then just strangely, about 6 or 8 months ago, I reread it, and I did not remember who did it. But it does hold up,
yeah.
And I was equally surprised, and maybe that's just my fading memory, but I was surprised at the whodunit. Do people guess? Because they're really, it's a hard one to guess.
I mean, no, and what's amazing, too, we have to remember is that we take for granted this convention of, like, strangers trapped in a how strangers stopped on an island, but Agatha Christie invented that with this book. She was the first one to set up. It seems, oh, it's cliche. It's only cliche because Agatha Christie wrote it.
Yes.
So I think that it's shocking to me. I think we get amazing gasps in the audience. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reveals. There's a lot of blood in the play. So
oh, blood.
We have a very mm-hmm. vocal audience reaction.
So you put blood in the play. That's kind of a new twist to the plays and the, yeah. and the movies, right?
Yeah.
And why did you do that?
I mean, it's 2019. We want the gore, right, Larry?
That's right. That's
Sagecraft.
Right. Give them something shocking. And I think it's interesting, too, because people that I've talked to that do know the book or do know the play and have seen it before, it's also a great adventure for them to watch it because then you're watching it at a very different eye and you can actually see all the murders happen if you really look.
Mm-hmm.
But Jessica's magic is that we use the old magician term of misdirection because we're going to make you look stage right while something happens stage left that you're not supposed to see.
I always say, like, I dare the real Agatha Christie fans in the audience to watch because I think we do a pretty good job of even if you know what's happening, it's hard to catch it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to give away a gift certificate for two tickets to the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook. And they're good for this play. We're going to close pretty soon, but of any other play. So I'm going to take the third caller at 312-981-7200 who can answer this trivia question. Who's got the trivia question? The Agatha Christie trivia question.
Sure. So Agatha Christie's husband, her first husband, was cheating on her, and she staged her own disappearance. The question is,
in real life,
God love her. In how many days did Agatha Christie go missing before she was found?
How many days did she go missing before she was found? Third caller with the right answer, 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show.
I love her, but she loves Agatha Christie. She's so wrapped up in the English murder mystery. I was nowhere near the scene of the crime. I was nowhere around at the time. Someone dropped arsenic in Mr. Robinson's wine.
Whoa! Did you know that Agatha Christie rhymes with murder mystery? I didn't know that either. We're talking to Larry Baker and Jessica Fish. These are the production stage manager and the director of the play. And Then There Were None that's currently playing at the Drury Lane Theater. Fabulous. Just exciting. Tell us, for people who have never seen the play or the movie, what are some of the highlights of going to the Drury Lane to see this very interesting play that has been, first published some 76 years ago?
Well, I think the thing that we really accomplished with our production is it's incredibly stylish. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's Drury Lane. That's a trademark of Drury Lane in general. But we have a beautiful Art Deco set by scenic designer Andrew Boyce. The costumes, Jessica Papps is our costume designer. They are so gorgeous, period costumes. I mean,
our lighting,
Driscoll-Otto. I mean, it's just, it's a spectacular feast for the eyes, the mm-hmm. actual, like, world of the play. We've got a scene that takes place entirely in the dark.
Thank you, Driscoll, for putting us in the dark.
Yes, that's a sign of a good lighting designer, when you're comfortable to turn off the lights.
Thunder and lightning, and then the power goes
out. And you're on an island, and you're being murdered one by one.
Yeah. Ooh. One by one. And then we also have a beautiful scene that's done in candlelight, because there's no longer power in the house. And, yeah, our prop designer, Cassie, created some amazing blood effects with her own special recipe. And so you not only hear about the offstage murders, but you get to see the residual effect as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about, there's an event that's coming up this Saturday for mm-hmm. people who are interested in this kind of thing. Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. We're doing every weekend, Drury Lane hosts a high tea, and we're doing a murder mystery high tea. I'll be there helping to host the event, reading some sections from the novel, and we're going to be having all kinds of puzzles and games to get people's brains working before the show so that you can be the best armchair sleuth possible.
Unleash your inner detective.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I hope we have some Agatha Christie mega fans there.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. I'm going to give out the number because we have a gift certificate for two tickets to the Drury Lane Theater, and I've given out them before. Thank you, Larry Baker. Mm-hmm. But people have just called me back to thank me so much. And
you know,
Drury Lane is in the suburbs, and I think there are people who are snobby and say, well, that's not in Chicago. It's not the same quality. It's a suburban theater, and that's different. That is so not the case, because I've probably been to five or so of your plays there, and I'm telling you, they're as high quality as anything that I've seen even on Broadway.
Excellent.
Well, thanks.
There you go.
I mean, your actors come in from all over, right? I mean,
sure.
It's not just local actors. I mean, you have, everything is just top of the line. And I really highly recommend that people go out there. And a lot of people don't like to drive down to the city of Chicago.
That's
right. They just don't. And this is easy.
Free parking.
Yeah.
Free parking.
Have dinner
we have
in the
a
restaurant.
We have a bar. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
make an event of it. And there's 8 shows a week. So you can see a matinee. You can see an evening show.
Right. Okay, 981-7200. Who has the answer? The answer to the trivia question. Jessica, why don't you give us the trivia question once again?
Sure. Agatha Christie, upon finding out that her husband was cheating on her, set up her own disappearance and disappeared for this many days before being found.
Okay. The first caller now, because no one's calling in. No one wants these tickets.
Come on,
they're
check
very
it out.
Valuable. 981-7200. So, Jessica, you look very young, and you are very
Thank
young. And is it still an unusual thing for a woman to be a director in this kind of theater, these kind of theater productions?
I started my career in New York. I lived there for many years before coming to Chicago for graduate school. And what actually brought me out here for graduate school was the master's program up at Northwestern is actually run by two phenomenal women directors. And I really was looking for that kind of mentorship and someone to look up to and say, how are you doing this? Because it has been a boys' club for a long time, and there are some incredible women making theater currently, and the generation just above me who really paved that road for us. And Drury Lane, there's an incredible female director coming in right behind me, starting rehearsal tomorrow, Lillianne Brown on The Color Purple. So I'm really proud of that.
You know, if I can ask you, like, for instance, people ask me about being a lawyer, being a female, and, you know, there's now 50-50 females and males in law school. Not all women, though, raise up to the ranks because of many reasons. But, you know, what is the difference being a female lawyer? And I say there are some real upsides, which are, you know, women can be better negotiators. They can be better listeners in some cases. They can be more compassionate. And I think they have a soft touch sometimes, which the cases need, the clients need. And even sometimes the judges want to see some compassion and some reason rather than the kind of yelling and screaming that you sometimes think of, right?
So, I love that, Karen.
So as a director, using that same template, what are your skills that you think are maybe uniquely female or feminine that maybe help you in doing your job?
I mean, I think that being a woman in America prepared me to be a good negotiator, quite frankly. I think that I know how to get what I want, how to speak for what I need, but I also know that the loudest voice is not necessarily proof of being the smartest voice in the room. So I know how to be clear about what I want, but I also know that the way to get it is not necessarily just banging my head against the wall. And I think that also I'm a great listener. And I think that the job of director is trying to get everybody to do their best work. That's your role. Bring out the best in everybody. Help them to achieve their greatness. And I think that, is that a characteristic that's uniquely feminine? Who knows? Maybe not. But I think that that's certainly a byproduct of the world that
I grew up in.
It
sounds like a little nurturing. You know, you look at your role as not getting people to bend to my will, but rather a female kind of... I'm just, again, these are real generalizations. Mm-hmm. I don't think that all women have these traits and all men don't have these traits. But the idea is that, you know, I'm nurturing you to do a good job so that we're all happy.
Yeah, and I think that also... being a woman director, you know, you have to have a tough skin. I think that it's a business that expects me to do the same work as my male colleagues and do it twice as well and look good doing it.
Right.
And I really.
And wearing high heels.
Backwards and high heels.
I remember that one.
And you know, I work very hard to not let them see me sweat.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And you're not sweating now. So I think we have an answer to the question. How long was Agatha Christie, how long did she disappear when she staged her own disappearance? Bob McKankakee claims that he has the answer. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have the answer.
Okay, what is it?
she, She was gone for 10 days.
Yes, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
Bob is the winner of a gift certificate for two tickets. You're going to love. Have you been to Drury Lane?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I love
good.
It.
Well, you'll...
Excellent. Welcome back.
You'll say hello to Jessica and Larry. You'll just, you know, take them right off the stage and insist on saying hello to them. Are you an Agatha Christie fan? Are you?
Oh, yes, yeah. I am. I mean, who isn't, right?
Yeah, no, she's great. Ben, you're going to get his address, and thank you for calling in. Thanks, Bob. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
How it goes.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Okay. All right, so the next play that is going to be performed, when does that start? That's Color Purple.
The Color Purple starts rehearsal tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
Lillian
Brown directing, local Chicago cast. And we're very excited about
another adaptation from an amazing book too.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. And so you do your rehearsals, and then when do you start? When does it start?
We have 3 weeks of rehearsal, and then we start previews. We have a week of previews, and then we open. So and that's it's a nice long run as well. And we always do a play over the summer, and then we start up our fall again with a musical. Then we've got Mary Poppins for Christmas, and then An American in Paris, a beautiful dance show. So it's a great season this season.
Who picks what gets performed?
The team
that goes into it.
Our artistic director, our producer, and there's a lot that goes into it, and also writes what's available.
Right.
You know, you want the hottest, you know, thing that you can get, and the hot ticket that's out there that everybody wants to see, what's new and what's exciting.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jessica Fitch, the director of And Then There Were None, and Larry Baker, who is the production stage manager at the Drury Lane. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
All right,
take care.